Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie. If you're Allen Robinson, you may be looking at Nick Foles on the sideline and Robert Quinn in sweats on Sunday afternoon against the Lions and think they have $51 million in guarantees that they're not contributing a thing on the field during that game on Sunday. And so you want to get in line and you want to make these demands. And it's not a question to me of whether or not the Bears can afford to pay their best offensive player an average of $20 million a year, because they could do it under the salary cap. So I don't know if the question is, can they afford to do that? It's can they afford not to? Because of all the ramifications of losing him on the field, losing him in the locker room. This is somebody who's active in the community. He's everything you want out of a Chicago Bear.
They've made some good signings. Akeem Hicks, hell of a player. Great, yep. They brought him in. But if I'm Allen Robinson and I'm watching Jimmy Graham miss time a jump, I'm kind of like, hey, wait a minute. Like, how did he get paid? What's the connection there? You got to take the value of the player into account, the value the player has to your team.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We got a mixed bag of results in baseball, David. We got ongoing drama at Hallis Hall. We've got a lot to talk about. How are you this morning?
Morning, Mully. Happy Thursday. Yeah, we do. We have a lot of stuff going on. The Sox can't win every night, so I guess that we have to see how they rebound from a loss. And the Cubs, they walk off again with Javi Baez with the big hit in the 10th inning. That was a lot of fun. And we have the Allen Robinson drama to kind of peel through. So, yeah, let's get started.
I got to tell you, and I just got to get this out. The drone thing just is so annoying. It's almost beyond human comprehension. And I remember years and years ago when, like, the laser sight things were first coming out. I remember parking by the paper and coming out to get into my car, and I have a green light on my chest, and I'm like, oh, gee. You know, so I'm doing, like, some, you know, serpentine. I'm trying to run to my car, and this guy, whoever he is, in some high rise, I'm sure they're on the floor laughing because they got some guy running around because they're throwing a laser sight on him. And I get in the car and I look, and they're doing it to some poor woman who's crossing the street. It's the same thing. That is what came to my mind as I, you know, and I looked ridiculous. I'm sure I looked like a complete idiot, but I just, like, really, you're going to put a drone over a baseball game? What kind of a half idiot are you? And I'm not a big proponent of you know, using Big Brother to track down people and all that stuff. But the guy with the drone, or the woman, whomever, needs to be kind of locked up a little bit. That just is so annoying to interrupt a game with a drone.
Yeah, it was pretty annoying. It was 7 minutes, 10 seconds delay, I believe. And it was one of those things you're like, what is going on here? And the reactions from the players were classic. And I loved the my mind went where Ryan Dempster did on the Marquee broadcast, wondering who let Trevor Bauer near Wrigley Field. That was, everyone remembers those days with Bauer. But it was very strange. I think it epitomized everything about the weirdness of 2020, that the Cubs game was delayed for 7 minutes because of a drone delay, and not because anybody was droning on and on and on, but an actual flying object in center field.
Look, and the thing is, like, I get it. there's no fans there. But really, there's
yeah,
a drone?
Really,
come on. Come on. That just anyway, that annoyed the hell out of me. And I don't know why. I was just like, let me follow the
There's
I
a drone up above the stadium.
That'll teach you to watch the Cubs, Molly. You should be all socks all the time, right? I figured that.
Oh, no. I go okay. back and forth, all and right. I had to look away for a while, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't have – I honestly felt fairly early, oh, it's not going to happen. It just – and I know you said it. You can't win all of them. But I really was feeling like they were going to win all of them. And as that started to go awry, it was just kind of – I don't know. The feeling I had was just one of, like, acceptance more than disappointment. Okay, well, they're going to lose this one. That's okay. They won the other two. You know, you win the games where you don't have your big ace on the mound, and so when he comes up. And Lucas Giolito, God love him, has had issues with the Twins. This is not breaking news.
That's a team that really does kind of get to him. While we're talking about things that really had very little to do maybe with the game, kind of external auxiliary things, the drone on the north side, but does Lucas Giolito sweat a lot? Do you notice that in the last couple
the
starts?
Twins?
He does. It looks like he's really, really sweating more than usual. Maybe not. Maybe it's just I saw did it seem like that to you at all?
It seemed like he was sweating mayonnaise, to quote a famous producer.
It did.
Producer.
I thought of Dustin. I'm like, oh, man, that's mayonnaise.
Yeah, that was he – it's just a bad – feeling against the Twins. I don't know. It just and it's funny because like my son and I are watching it. I just kind of muttered, God, I hate the Twins. And he said, like, I despise them. And, and it was just an observation. It had nothing to do with anything particular. It's just more of this lifelong, you know, annoyance.
No!
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what
could
it was.
Could that have been a Twins drone at Wrigley Field? Kind of.
Who knows? They're probably
scouting
getting
the
scouting
Cubs
report. I like
in
it.
In advance
yeah.
of the weekend series at Wrigley?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something that New England would do.
Or the Astros.
Oh. Who's your favorite cheaters? 312-644-6767. Yeah, right. You know, look, the Sox, it was very funny at one point because Jason Benetti was talking about the things that had to happen for the Sox to clinch last night. And he said, well, this is going well and this is going well. The only problem is this game. And I kind of laughed. I was like, yeah, this is the problem. You're not going to hold up your end of the bargain. But the White Sox, officially, the magic number is 1.
Right.
For a playoff spot. So that's kind of nice, right? You got to look
at
it.
It is kind of nice because the other things that had to happen happened. The only thing that didn't was the Sox
yes.
didn't beat the Twins. And you can't win every night. So the Twins are a very good team. You knew they weren't going to leave town without hitting the ball over the fence a couple times. And that was, you know, their way last night of responding. Tonight, different story maybe. Maybe with Ronaldo Lopez on the mound. The Dallas Keuchel news was a bit jarring at first, but I think when you look at what they're trying to do, maybe it I understand it, even though you worry a little bit about Keuchel in the back, but you like the idea of positioning this rotation for the playoffs.
Yeah, Rob, the last game of the series is today at 1 o'clock, and Ronaldo Lopez, they chose Ronaldo. And I mean, you're right. I think the priority here has to be the health of Dallas Keuchel, not beating the Twins so I feel better about the season series, right? It's
right.
just about making sure that he is able to go. And you got to line him up at some point. You know, I keep eyeballing that Cubs series at the end of the year, and I'll be very curious to see if the White Sox, if the Cubs are lining up their pitchers. I would imagine that both teams will be aware of the fact that a playoff series begins shortly thereafter, and you want Lucas Giolito to start the first game for the Cubs. You want, or for the Sox, you want Yu Darvish starting that first game. You're going to have to manipulate things a little bit and make sure everybody is on target. And if you actually start Dallas Keuchel on Saturday or Sunday, then he's on track to be the number two, the second game starter for the White Sox. And I think that's what they're going to do, and I'm sure they're going to do that with Giolito and make sure that that's all lined up. You know, you don't want to be saving your big guns for the second or third game, right? So two things, you want to be at home, and both teams right now would be at home for that five-game series, and then it's best of three, right?
Best of three, round.
So it's, you know, and that's why John Lester's start was so interesting yesterday, because we've been talking about who lines up and how you line them up, and that may well have been John Lester's last game at Wrigley Field, the drone
game. He apparently is telling us that Alec Mills is starting game three with all the drama last night after the word and talking about being his last start at Wrigley. He was pulled after five innings, 62 pitches. But, yeah, he was more – that kind of caught me off guard because it didn't really – You forget about that. You forget about all that might have been going through his mind. But if the Cubs get to a Game 3 situation, it does sound like, after hearing from Lester, it won't be John Lester on the mound for Game 3. If it were leaning in that direction, I don't know that he would have been as emotional as he was post-game.
I totally agree. And it's just fascinating to think about these teams being in this position where they can start worrying about stuff like that. Certainly, we haven't seen that in the South Side in a really long time, and I'm gonna try to take it as a positive that Dallas Keuchel is not starting today. I'm gonna try to take that.
Okay,
that's a
good way to look at it. Stay positive. The Sox magic number is one. The Cubs 5 for a postseason berth, 8 for a division title. They're 10 games above 500 for the first time since they were 13-3. They're getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, no question about it, and they really did deliver a death blow to the Indians, I believe, as far as the division is concerned. I know the Sox still have a series left in Cleveland, but it just, you know, Cleveland, who was in atop that division, now seems like they're in a much significantly worse position. So it's kind of fun to see that. I'm happy with that.
Indians are struggling so much. Zach Plesac doesn't even feel like partying.
I'm going to damper your optimism real quick here, Mully, because that's what I do. Say, you know, Cleveland scuffling, like you said, say the Sox get the one seed and Cleveland gets the eight seed. They have to play three games and all those tough right-handed pitchers come into Chicago. How'd that make you feel?
I know. It makes me feel awful. And I've said this before. Cleveland and Tampa are really the two teams I would prefer to avoid. And I also don't want to play the Twins.
I would like
to get a pass in the playoffs without having to play anyone. How about that?
So I think Mully just said, bring on the Yankees. That's what you just said.
That's what I heard.
See, now, that's a problem, too. Yeah. I got to shut up now. I don't want to put the Malecki on anything. I keep saying I want to see the Sox outside the division because I've seen them play the Twins and the Indians, and it's not as pleasant as you'd imagine. So, the Twins.
You know what, though? Let me turn this around on you for a second. With that lineup, do you know how many teams that are playoff bound that are saying to themselves, and maybe their radio hosts in their respective cities are saying on the air this morning, you don't want any part of the White Sox? Boy, you hope that you don't match up with the White Sox. You don't want any part of that lineup in a three-game series.
I just don't want anyone saying, boy, I hope we get that Ronaldo Lopez after today. You know what I mean? So let's say a novena. Hope he gets through it. The Cubs the Bears, interesting stuff all the way around. We heard from Allen Robinson. We heard from Mitchell Trubisky. We heard people talking about Allen Robinson. We heard from Matt Nagy. And I just think it's kind of I find it a little bit amusing that there's always this kind of groupthink and everyone's in part of every decision and we all get together on everything. Until you reach one like this and we start saying, well, I have a great relationship with him. I remember I'm coaching the team. I have nothing to do with that stuff.
Right. Then all of a sudden we get the separation of powers. Reminder.
Yes.
Like, you know, this is my job. This is his job. That's Ryan's job. And, you know, everybody else has their job. But I think that you can talk about the culture for so long. But if this is an example of a great culture, then what was Monday? Or what was Tuesday, rather?
Right.
You know, how did it unfold and spill over into the public eye if this great culture existed to the point where you had to kind of go public as part of a messy negotiation in season? That's the problem, Molly. I get that this is all part of the process, but it's in season.
Yeah, and that's part. That's the biggest part of the problem, that it's in season, because you really would prefer to hear the great insights of the quarterback that don't concern the receiver. He pointed out that it's kind of obvious they need to do better on third down. That's good. Yeah. Let's get that across to everyone.
Right. Yeah, you think so?
Third down equals important. Score has learned.
Were they, 2 for 11? That's not going to cut it.
Yeah. All right, we got to get into all of that. We got to talk about the Big Ten and everything that's happening now with the 8-game season, and we'll get into all of it. The Pick 6 is next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did you make of Allen Robinson's Zoom with the media yesterday? If he did not deny requesting a trade, do you take it as confirmation of Brad Biggs' reporting? And do you believe that there is a difference of opinion between Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy regarding paying the receiver?
You know, I think it's very interesting stuff to go over. I liked Allen Robinson's demeanor and what he had to say on Zoom. I liked the way that he committed to the team and said that he didn't believe he was going anywhere, but the very fact that he was pushed a couple times about whether or not he requested a trade, I took that as confirmation that he did. The fact that he didn't deny it, you know, the great, one of my favorite sports malapropisms ever was when Alonzo Spellman said it's time to circle the horses, not the wagons, but let's, you know, expose ourselves with the horses. But that's what happens when you have a story like this breaking. Usually, you know, first it's the agent coming out, that never happened, the team, that never happened, and then the player would question the reporting that was done. He didn't do that. So I took that as a form of confirmation, and good for Biggs, because I think he got the story right, and I think that, unfortunately, sometimes when someone has a story like that, other people are more interested in trying to debunk it than confirm it. And I'm glad with the way that Allen Robinson responded. As far as the difference of opinion between Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, I think there is a separation there. I don't know that Nagy doesn't have cover if he wants to put it on Ryan Pace. I don't know what Pace's cover is. Maybe I've spent so much money I can't afford under the salary cap to dish out $20 million. Maybe I don't believe this guy's worth $20 million, and I want to go significantly lower, a couple, $3 million lower than that a year, and he's not interested in that contract, and we're miles apart. So I think that it's fairly obvious that if the Bears wanted this deal done, it would be done, because the player keeps saying he wants to be here, and he's only thinking about being here, mm-hmm. and the team keeps saying that, these things, this is just a process you go through and all that. I think there's a difference of opinion. I don't know pronounced enough to get down and dirty, and I think Pace has the final say.
I think they both agree that you should pay Allen Robinson. The difference in opinion is how much and what's he worth and what that's going to do. Matt Nagy's got to play the good cop, and Ryan Pace here is the bad cop. Matt Nagy would not be the first coach to make a promise his GM can't keep. So what you saw yesterday, I thought, was, you know, Matt Nagy going to bat for his guy. You know, the Allen Robinson part of the Zoom was interesting because he was given two opportunities to refute directly the trade request. And for two opportunities, both times he didn't do that. And so you're right. We've both been in those situations, Mully, where we've both been called out for things you've written and may not have been entirely accurate or exactly right. But you know that players will lash out if you're wrong, and that wasn't the case yesterday. So we kind of get that sense. Allen Robinson says he's committed to, you know, doing what he needs to do, committed to this team. The one thing I do believe, the one thing that was easiest to understand yesterday, was that I don't doubt that he will show up on Sunday. And I think that's probably the only thing that really does matter. There was going to be some unnecessary drama. We're going to talk about this a lot, but I don't doubt that he will be there when they need him to be there, whether it's on third down, in the red zone, or whatever. Allen Robinson, I doubt, will let this get in the way of his production.
Pick 6! Wow!
With the Big Ten committed to returning on October 23rd, are you committed to watching it? Even if you question the wisdom of playing, is any part of you excited about the conference returning to action?
Well, I'll be entirely honest here. You know, I'm not there yet. I'm just not there yet. I'm uncomfortable with it. I find it unsettling. I understand the shift and why. I applaud all the doctors and all the medical professionals who researched and established all these protocols. I know that there are answers we just may never get. I just don't like the optics of football players having access to daily tests that regular students don't. I don't like the way Kevin Warren handled this necessarily. I think it was sort of weak to come out when he came out and then 36 days later change directions. It takes strength to stand by your convictions. I felt like it was clumsy and contradictory messaging. I'm looking what's happening around the campuses in the Big Ten. I can't help but wonder how football fits responsibly into that picture, into these settings. The only bright spot, okay? The NCAA has spent the last five decades or so trying to tell us that student athletes should not have any extra benefits that regular students aren't entitled to. Now, in the name of the almighty dollar, they're admitting that was a sham all along with amateurism. So the death of hypocrisy may be the only good thing about this discussion. But tell that to the chemistry major who has to wait a week for a test result the quarterback can get before practice.
Yeah, I mean, this is a complicated issue, and I think that there are elements of it. There's a lot of things going on. You know, we talked yesterday about Ed Orgeron and this idea of hinting at kind of this herd immunity stuff, and kind of he wasn't really hinting, to be honest with you. I feel like that's what he flat out said, and I hate that idea. And there's a lot of this that I don't like, but, you know, I'm going to be watching. I am going to be excited to see the actual game schedule and what the matchups look like. I watched Notre Dame on Saturday. I watched it with this sort of kind of fascination of the abomination thing, right? I'm like, oh, my God, look at people in the stands and how weird is that and what the hell are they doing and, my God, throw the ball. What are you doing? It was the weirdest thing ever that I slipped into actually watching a football game. And I'm not sure I enjoyed it, to be brutally honest with you. It just seems so weird to me. And it was so kind of, it was so half serious, half not. And it troubled my mind, but I watched it. And I'm going to watch the Big Ten. That's the truth.
It's a pick six.
Rick Renteria said the White Sox should celebrate their playoff berth like they've been there before, but they haven't, not since 2008, and this group is considered a year ahead of schedule. Did we think before the season that making the playoffs would be a success, and when did that change?
Well, yes, that's a really interesting point. As you have success, the expectations shift and change. So now, where I would have been before the season started, I would have been delighted if you told me the situation they were in. I would have maybe not even believed it. And if I were told that they made the playoffs but they lost the three-game series, I would be like, oh, well, hey, that sets up next year and the year after. And, now watching the season, enjoying the season as much as I have, I got to have them win that series. I got to have them position themselves so that they start winning. I want more. I want more. And it's just the avaricious nature of any sports fan. And it's never going to be enough for me.
When production meets potential, I mean, you do change your expectations. And what the White Sox team did this season was exceed sort of those expectations that we had for them early on. So it's okay to readjust and recalibrate. And I think every time you see, you know, last night was not a great example, but when you see Jose Abreu going deep or Tim Anderson, you know, getting another couple hits to lead the league in hitting, or Luis Robert do what he does, just go through the lineup. It has been so convincing. I think the style with which they have won has made us kind of adjust the way that we view them. So as Tim Anderson sort of says, why not us, why not now? You start to think in those terms when it comes to the White Sox. So I don't feel like, and I'm one of those guys that felt like at the beginning, yeah, you get to the playoffs, this team is the 2015 Cubs, you just get there, and then we'll talk over the offseason about what the World Series would mean to this. Do it now. You're there. This is a weird season. Weird things are happening all over sports. Why not the Sox? Why not now?
Pick six.
What did you make of John Lester's start last night, and where does he fit into the playoff rotation now? Was it the right decision to leave Javier Baez in the sixth spot in the lineup again last night?
Oh, yeah. It worked out. I mean, perfect timing. He was up there when he needed to be up there, and then he hits the base hit to the walk-off with the winner. So congratulations, David Ross. The lineupistas were right in moving Javi down. It's worked out well. Look, the John Lester thing caught me a little bit off guard. I didn't expect him to get that emotional after the game for John Lester. I didn't really anticipate him kind of announcing the end of his Cub tenure necessarily, which is sort of what he was doing. And I didn't realize that Alec Mills had been anointed the Game 3 starter. So all those things were a little bit interesting. I give Rossi credit, though. After 5 innings and 62 pitches, he pulled his buddy. And we always wondered if he was going to be able to do that. Last night it was obvious that that was the right decision. So that was another good night for the manager of the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, totally agree with everything you said there, David. You know, I really got a lot of respect for John Lester, and I'm going to miss him. But that was everything but with the watch, right? That was kind of the resignation speech. It was bizarre.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
Are you encouraged or discouraged by the fact both Robert Quinn with an ankle and Khalil Mack with a knee are on the injured list? Quinn was able to take part in limited practice for the first time, while Mack remained limited for the second strike week. Is there concern that neither guy will be right at all this season?
Boy, you know, I hate to even give voice to it, but that is definitely the way that I feel, that neither guy is really going to be right. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to regret saying it, but I got to tell you, having watched the Dallas Cowboys against the Los Angeles, are they Los Angeles? Where are they now? Yeah, the LA Rams. Aaron Donald is an extraordinary player, where he is just the biggest motor ever. He was knocking guys down. He was dominating a really good offensive line. I mean, he was literally, there was one play where he flashed across a guy, knocked a guy down because he ricocheted off the guy he hit. That's how hard he's hitting people. three different offensive linemen. So I kind of expect that from Mac, and I haven't seen it since the first half of his career. The first half of his first season in Chicago, I was amazed, and I thought, oh, my God, like, here's a defensive player that belonged on the 85 team. He's that good a player, the greatest defense ever, and Mac is going to dominate the world. And that has stopped, and it maybe is injury-related, but I am worried about the Bears' defense, and I don't like the idea that their two pass rushes are injured.
You know what Aaron Donald's greatest ability is? Availability. He's missed 2 games since 2014. So when you look at what the Bears are facing with Robert Quinn kind of out of the mix until further notice, and Khalil Mack hobbling until further notice, we'll know, I guess, when he's healthy, because he'll remind us in the backfield. But yeah, you don't feel good about a Bears defense that needs to be better. That was historically bad in the opener against the Lions. So I don't know that everything that I thought about this season, you start to question if you don't have Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack functioning at the highest capacity on the edge. So that is a concern moving forward.
That is a pick six.
This segment brought to you by Hollywood Casino in Aurora and Joliet. What do you think of Wes Unseld Jr. emerging as a front runner in the Bulls head coaching search? Is that people connecting dots with Arturis Karnišovas, or a reaction to the Nuggets' remarkable comeback against the Clippers?
Combination of both. I think when you talk about what the Nuggets did, you can't help but be impressed. And Wes Unseld Jr. was given credit by Malone as being the architect of that defense. It sounds a little bit like the Tom Thibodeau reference or connection with the Celtics when he was that guy. So, yeah, you wonder if he's a front runner now because of the public attention, because of the success of the Nuggets. I still think they should talk to Billy Donovan. I still think that Kenny Atkinson makes sense to talk to. They'll probably talk to all these guys. But right now, if I were looking at it just based on where the Nuggets are, Wes Unseld Jr.'s got to feel very good about his chances.
There's not a shadow of a doubt that this guy is having the perfect team play in the perfect fashion to enhance his chances to be a head coach. His head coach said yesterday the guy has done a remarkable job, and that's why they've won 3 games in a row to eliminate the Clippers, and that's why they're in the Western Conference Finals, and he deserves to be a head coach. That is a a statement for AK. I don't think there's any other way to take it. So I think he probably is the front runner. I think they're going to be down to four by the end of the week, and I like it. I like it a lot. It's good stuff, and here's hoping. All right, 312-644-6767. We've got Dave Richard next. He's going to give you all of your fantasy news and all that you need. He'll help your team. 312-644-6767. Fresh. Fresh for fantasy. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is always a pleasure to talk to a Chicago guy made good, and that is Dave Richard. He is our fantasy football expert from CBS Sports, and he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Morning, Dave. Good morning, Mully. Good morning, Dave. I hope you guys crushed it in week one. A lot of quarterbacks came through in a big way. I got to tell you, one of them was Mitchell Trubisky for fantasy. He was outstanding, three touchdowns, and the throw to Anthony Miller that he made at the end of the game. You know what that was, guys? That was a top five NFL draft pick quarterback throw. That was really one of the – it was maybe his best throw of the game, in a game where he was off target just a little bit too much for everybody's liking, but the Bears won. Anthony Miller looked great. Allen Robinson looked good. And I think there's some promise for the run game, too. Montgomery and Cordero Patterson each had some really nice moments.
Oh, there's so much that comes to mind. The first thing would be Allen Robinson. You know, we talked about this. He was the most valuable fantasy guy on this team. Mm-hmm. And now he's scrubbed his social media, for God's sake. He can't seem to get a long-term deal done. And maybe the team doesn't believe that he's as good as some of us thought he was going to be. How do you handle an unhappy player? I mean, obviously you have him, you got to play him, but do you try to get Anthony Miller and maybe if they're going to start shifting the primary guy going into next year, do you actually take that into account?
I mean, I don't know how the Bears could even think about doing such a thing. They're 1-0. I mean, for all they care, they're in the thick of the playoff race still. There's no reason to be pessimistic about their chances this year, no matter what you think about, Mitchell's not going to get it done. Well, he did last week, and maybe he does again. And you're going to want to have somebody like Allen Robinson catching passes from Trubisky. So I was really encouraged when I saw Matt Nagy come out yesterday and say, hey, everything's good. He'll be ready to go. Hopefully that is the case. And it's either a situation where Allen Robinson just, you know, he wants what he thinks is fair, which is probably like DeAndre Hopkins type money, and the Bears would be willing to give him something significantly less. And, you know, sometimes an angry player is good for fantasy because they ball out just a little bit more. And that's what I'm hoping we see from Allen Robinson, is that he fights through those tackles to pick up some extra yards. He wins those contested catches in the end zone to put up some touchdowns. And he has a big year, which forces the Bears to give him the bucks that he wants.
Let's stay with the Bears for a couple guys, Dave. You look at Anthony Miller. How much do you have to guard against maybe overreacting to 1 week because of his past kind of inconsistency, although he did look very good? And then David Montgomery, who had a very nice debut.
Montgomery had a nice debut, but I was hoping for more touches. And I'm wondering if that's in the cards this week for him, is that they give him more work. But look, he basically, there was a trend last year that we saw where he and Tariq Cohen split snaps. All right, it wasn't necessarily touches, but snaps, where they were both playing about 50% of the time. This year, they were splitting again, but it wasn't as much of a share because Cordell Patterson was in there. So the Bears kind of have this three-headed rotation going on at running back, but Montgomery is the best of the three. And I kind of like, I don't love his chances this week in fantasy. I think he's risky to use in the lineup, but he's always got a shot to score. And this Giants defense looked terrible against Benny Snell, of all people. And so I think Montgomery does have an opportunity to score. Just treat him as a number two running back, not a number one. And then for Anthony Miller, would love to have him on my bench. There's going to be bye weeks eventually and players who get hurt. He's the perfect type of replacement for that. Again, I'd like to see more targets from him. I don't know if we're going to see that this week. I don't know if the Bears have to throw a ton this week against the Giants. I think they can use that three-headed running back rotation and maybe even let Mitchell use his legs a little bit more, take advantage of that Giants defense. And that's why I think that Miller was a great add off the waiver wire. If you got him, good. But I think you can find a receiver with a higher target share that you can use this week.
I always wonder about running back volume, and there's a lot of teams that don't have clarity as to who's going to get the majority of carries. How do you look at that, Dave? How, when you're making your decision, how do you piece together guys that may have a huge game against a particular team or not?
Well, you try and get an idea of how the teams use their running backs, and it's the running backs who can catch passes and work the goal line. If they've got those two roles, those are the ones that are going to be great for fantasy, because catches matter quite a bit, especially if your league counts them, for crying out loud. That's an easy way to get fantasy points, and then touchdowns count for six, as you guys know. So in a case like the Bears, for example, yeah, Tariq Cohen is the guy that usually catches a lot of passes, but his workload is very up and down. Montgomery is the one who's best suited at the goal line, and he can also pick up some balls. You know that he almost caught a touchdown against Detroit last week. The pass was batted down. Trubisky really should have put some more air under it. If he had done that, then we'd be talking about Montgomery and how great he was because he caught a touchdown and, oh, look at that versatility. Really, that's what you're looking for. If you can't find a running back that gets 20 touches a game, you want one that's got versatility. The worst thing for fantasy is when you've got two running backs that just, they can do the same things and the teams can just mix and match them. I'll give you an example that you can look for tonight, the Browns. They've got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. They're both awesome. They can both catch the ball out of the backfield. They can both work at the goal line. You don't know which one will be on the field at any given time. We think that Kareem Hunt is going to be the one that plays in obvious passing situations, but the Browns don't have to promise that at all, and they certainly have confidence in both their backs, and they've got a good offensive line. You have to hope in this game against Cincinnati that they both get 15-plus touches and that they both figure out a way to score or get a lot of big plays. And I think they can. It's just something for fantasy managers to watch and to hope that maybe there does see some clarity to get developed between the two of them.
Okay, Dave, your public awaits, 312-644-6767. Novell in Olympia Fields, you're on the score with Dave Richard.
Thank you for taking my call. I need two in a standard league, Hines, Gallup, Dobbins, or Emmanuel Sanders. I also have James Snell on my bench.
Okay, get Snell off your bench. Assuming James Conner is out, you're going to want to have Benny Snell against the Denver Broncos. This is a Denver defense that played over 70 snaps on Monday, and now they've got to travel to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. This would be a great spot for Benny Snell. Use him and use Michael Gallup. That's a high-scoring game that we're going to have between the Falcons and the Cowboys. Highest Vegas total on the board this week, and I think Gallup has a chance to bounce back after a rough game in week one.
You know, there's a texter checking in who says that Gallup has become available in his particular league, and that he has a $100 waiver. Should he bid for him up to $26 to get him? Is that too much?
I think that's too much. I think you can get him for, I don't know, close to 20. If you really want to make sure you get him, use that 26 bid to go and grab him and put him on your team. But anytime a player that, and I don't know what people are thinking, right? They draft these guys in the first five or six rounds of their draft, and then they're cutting them after one game. Really? You're that impatient? There are people telling me that in their leagues, people have cut Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders, the top running back in Philadelphia, who was easily a top two-round pick in every single fantasy. They're just cutting him after one week where he didn't even play. Forget about it. And so,
would you advocate cutting Baker Mayfield, Dave? I mean, you can do
no
that.
No one drafted
right?
Baker Mayfield, Molly. Come on. Let's be real. No one was really interested in Baker Mayfield. And listen, if he's on the waiver wire in a bunch of my leagues. I could get him for a $0 bid if I wanted to, but he just looked terrible in week one, and I don't expect him to look that much better in week two. Close to a 26 bid for Gallup. I would say 22 would get it done.
Dave, our guy Peoria Matt checks in on the text line question. Flex PPR league, Kareem Hunt or Jonathan Taylor?
You got to go with Taylor. I love the opportunity that's opened up for him. I hate how it happened. Marlon Mack going down with the torn Achilles. It means that now it's going to be Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines as the two main running backs for Indianapolis. This is a great offensive line, and this is a team that desperately needs its running backs to play big. Phillip Rivers loves to target them, kind of check down to him as an extension of the run game. And we saw Taylor get 6 catches last week. I think he's going to continue to grab a bunch of receptions. It's something he didn't do at Wisconsin, but he can clearly do now in the NFL. Taylor is basically a must start until further notice.
All right, Dave, we'll close it out with another one of our texters. He wants to know Miller or OBJ. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know what happened to OBJ. Maybe it's Baker Mayfield, but holy cow, he was dropping the ball all over the place too.
Yeah, he had a really ugly drop last week. I think he's moving better than he did last year. So when he came into camp and said he was feeling 100% healthy, I think you got to believe that. But Baker Mayfield really was a problem, and this is a team that really wants to run the football a lot. Frankly, I was surprised he even had 10 targets in the game. There was one play in garbage time where Mayfield overthrew him. He was wide open, 5 yards away from the end zone, and Baker overthrew him. It was terrible. I would hope that they would get on the same page. I would start OBJ over Anthony Miller this week, but we could be heading toward a moment here where Odell Beckham gets a little cranky and says, hey, you know, I'm not getting the ball. This isn't working out. And maybe the Browns have to do something about that because he's not getting his numbers. And look, this was somebody that I was not excited about drafting in the first place, partially because of Baker Mayfield and partially because of the direction that the Browns were going in. I think if you use him as a number two wide receiver, you'll be okay. But there's a chance that he falls out of favor and things happen really fast with OBJ.
Dave, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Good stuff,
Dave. You got
it,
gentlemen. Kick some butt in your leagues this week, will you?
All right, pal. That'll be a first. Sadly. I should have asked him about Saquon Barkley because I don't know what the hell to make of what happened with him. And if that changes against the banged up Bears defensive front, I don't know, David. It's going to be an interesting one.
Just ask Tiki Barber about Saquon Barkley. He'll have some not so
you
nice things to say.
Let's ask Brad Biggs about Tiki Barber talking about Saquon Barkley. Let's get his opinion of that the guy's a
Let's
two-down
do
back. We'll ask Biggsy that next. Biggs time follows. Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.